CBS News. Government says food prices will continue climbing at least through mid-1975, and two of the nation's biggest sugar refineries have now announced new price increases. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Amstar and the Sucrest raised prices approximately 6%, bringing the increase in sugar prices in the past year to 300%. The men who grow sugarcane say they're not to blame for the high prices. Ike Siemens reports.
Growers say that just like everyone else, their cost of business has risen dramatically. And the reason sugar prices are so high is that until recently, the business has not been profitable enough to attract more growers. Florida Sugarcane League Executive Vice President Nelson Fairbanks explains.
I don't think you can blame the producers and the growers. Really what's caused it is we have a worldwide scarcity of sugar, and production has not kept up with consumption over the last 4 years. And really, the low prices of the previous years, several years ago, were not sufficient to attract the necessary capital to increase production.
Many growers are hesitant to buy more land to increase their yield, since they believe that it's just a matter of time until sugar prices come down. In the meantime, those prices will remain high for the consumer. Ike Siemens for CBS News, Clewiston, Florida.
More after this. Hello there, this is Art Linkletter again. I've been telling you about the great games the Milton Bradley Company makes. Games that help bring families together to enjoy good family fun. Games that have become classics in most every American home. Well, recently, I was introduced to a brand new Milton Bradley game that I'm sure is going to become another family classic. It's called Connect Four. And it's a clever strategy game that plays like a combination of checkers and tic-tac-toe. Each player drops a checker into one of seven slots in a vertical frame and tries to build a row of four of his own checkers, vertically, horizontally, or diagonally. It sure gets exciting as you try to connect four checkers in a row to win. Sounds simple, but wait till your family plays Connect Four. They'll be in for a lot of surprises. Connect Four, the new strategy game of vertical checkers from Milton Bradley. Rated GF 4. Great fun.
Two murders, a suicide, then a booby-trapped apartment Friday in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Details from Brian Wood of Station KGGM.
A man armed with a .357 Magnum pistol walked into the Employment Securities Commission office at the National Building in Albuquerque Friday and began shooting at employees. The man killed two women secretaries and critically wounded a male employee. The gunman then fired the weapon at himself, which killed him instantly. The gunman has now been identified as 37-year-old Rexford Schofield of Albuquerque. Shortly after the incident, police went to Schofield's home to investigate. When they turned the lights on, however, they quickly discovered the room had been booby-trapped. The door locked behind them, and then four shots rang out. Three of the shots lodged in the arm of Albuquerque policeman Dennis Brandt. Brandt and his fellow officer were able to escape, however, by climbing out a window. A motive has not been established for Schofield's actions, but it is known that he was rejected for a job recently by the Employment Security Commission's office. This is Byron Witt for CBS News in Albuquerque.
An Oregon couple was arrested Friday in connection with the bombing of 11 power line towers near Portland last month and a $1 million extortion threat. Former Army Lieutenant William Kelly, convicted in the 1968 My Lai massacre, in which 22 South Vietnamese civilians were killed, has been granted a parole by the Secretary of the Army. Kelly, however, will go free on bail Saturday morning before the parole takes effect. Its official release will be before a federal judge in Columbus, Georgia, who overturned the conviction on constitutional grounds. Kelly flew from Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, to Georgia tonight by military jet. Government spokesman revealed Friday that Andrew Gibson, nominated to head the Federal Energy Administration, was the chief of the Federal Maritime Administration when it gave $90 million subsidy that indirectly benefited a company Gibson later joined. Amid mounting questions over his connections, Gibson met with White House staff members twice Friday and told reporters he is still a candidate to become the Federal Energy Administrator. More after this.
If you enjoy wine with your meals, here's something you should know about wine before meals. Wines go with your meals, but Dubonnet goes before. Think of it as an appetizer, a wine that helps to whet your appetite. Before lunch, Before dinner at cocktail time. Before whatever you've got cooking. Dubonnet Before. Made to make what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. Of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
U.S. District Judge John Sirica has decided to send, at the request of John Ehrlichman, three medical experts to examine former President Nixon to determine if he is well enough to testify at the Watergate cover-up trial. The Ford Motor Company says it will lay off another 4,700 workers Monday to cut back production of its overstocked small cars. As of Monday, more than 62,000 auto workers will be off the job. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for periods of rain through Sunday, with highs in the mid-50s, lows in the mid-40s. In downtown Seattle, currently it's 49 degrees. It's 47 at the airport. The barometer reads an even 30 and is rising. Taking a look at sports briefly in college football this evening, Florida State beat Miami of Florida, 21-14. The National Basketball Association was Detroit over Boston, 105-104. Philadelphia dumped Portland, 105-89, and Phoenix, 105, New Orleans, 102. In the ABA, St. Louis, 132, Denver, 121. The New York Nets defeated Memphis, 104-102. And one game in the National Hockey League that saw Atlanta defeating the Chicago Blackhawks by a score of 2-0. Mystery Theater is next on KIXI. The time now is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Of all the sounds in the universe, perhaps nothing stirs the imagination more deeply than the sounds of the sea. People who have never crossed an ocean can still be transported in a walk along the beach, skirting the lapping tides, or standing high on the rocks with the waves crashing below. There's an eerie quality about the sea. And it conjures strange visions in any mind that is ready to receive them. Our story concerns the spell cast by the sea.
Where is your son, Mrs. Desmond?
Why, he's in bed. And I hope fast asleep.
You hear that?
Yes. Foghorn is a lonely sound.
It's a lonely sound for women like you and me.
Trying to frighten me.
There's still plenty of time.
Time for what?
To take your son away from here. Take him away and guard him with your life.
Our mystery drama, What Happened to Mrs. Forbush, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elizabeth Pennell, and stars Patricia Wheel and Gordon Gould. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
If you take a look at the 1975 cars, you'll notice a European influence. And there are some new American cars that rival the Europeans. One being Buick's new Skylark SR, with its touring car interior and spirited little V6 engine. But don't think of the Skylark SR as a European tourer. We're proud of the fact that it's a Buick. You will be, too.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
A variety of assistance is available to the blind. Rehabilitation and library services can be had in every part of the nation. Cash payments for the needy and training in skills and techniques. You can help. For information, contact your local affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind or write me, Kenneth Jernigan, President, National Federation of the Blind, 218 Randolph Hotel Building, Des Moines, Iowa, 50309.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
Information, write Save the Children, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York.
This story takes place at Captain's Cove on the shores of New England. Bert and Marjorie Desmond are inspecting a picturesque old house on a bluff overlooking the sea. They're city people. And in the past, they have spent their vacations at mountain resorts or in dry desert places considered beneficial for the health of their son. But this year, it's different. And they're getting more intrigued by the minute as Mr. Smith, the rental agent, shows them around.
Oh, Bert, the view! And the window seat! I haven't seen one like this since my grandmother's house when I was a child.
I'm more interested in all these carved pieces over here. What do you call this stuff?
Scrimshaw.
Oh, yeah. The things sailors made when they had time on their hands.
Old Captain had quite a collection. Most of it's over to the museum.
What can you tell me about this ship model? A schooner, isn't it?
Yeah. That'd be Captain Forbush's ship, Desdemona. Sank. With all hands aboard.
Mr. Smith, is that an island I see way out there?
Nope. That's Dead Man's Rock.
Oh, what a gruesome name. Was it the scene of a shipwreck?
I understand some fella got murdered on that rock. I don't rightly know the circumstances. But there is an island further on out, known as Hiram's Hideaway. Said to be the place old Captain Forbush took himself off to when he wanted to get away from his wife. Good fishing.
I'll have to look into that.
But are you sure we really want to take this house?
Let's see the rest of it.
There's a fine old staircase.
Beautiful railing. I don't think it's been dusted in years.
This house has been closed up most of the time. That's why it's such a bargain.
Is there anything wrong with it?
Nope. Tight as a drum. And a real historic monument. Now, you take this room.
Oh, it's wonderful. I've never slept in a four-poster bed.
Oh, boy. It's a big one, too.
And this door leads to a veranda.
Oh, my. This porch comes all the way around the house.
It always does in a captain's place of residence. A trademark, you might say.
Well, sure. This is what you call a widow's walk.
Yeah. No doubt Miss Forbush did her share of pacing when the captain was away.
Well, no pacing for me, thank you. My husband has a desk job. What do you think, Bert?
About the house?
Yes. In a strange way, I've fallen in love with it. But I'm wondering...
Wonder no more. We're going right into that room I already call my study and sign a lease for the summer.
Bert.
Glad you've come to life. You haven't said a word since we left the cove. I thought you were asleep.
No. I've been thinking. And worrying.
Worrying?
About Robbie.
Robbie? I can hardly wait to get his reaction when he sees where he's going to spend the summer.
Bert, maybe we've made a mistake.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. That long, deserted beach and those rocks, it's a dangerous place for a boy.
You'll have a ball.
But it's not like any place we've ever stayed before. Have you forgotten how much of Robbie's life he's had to spend in bed?
I haven't forgotten. But that's all over. The doctor said so. He said it was time Robbie started doing the things boys his age like to do.
Not dangerous things.
Bert, we're going to spend 3 months by the ocean.
You bet we are. And the sea air will be good for all of us.
Only, Bert, Robbie's never learned to swim.
Well, Robbie, what do you think of it?
Oh, man, this house is twice as good as you said it was.
I didn't remember it was so musty. The place seems airy. I'm going to open some windows.
Dad, who's the old guy in the picture?
Why, that must be Hiram Forbush, the sea captain who built this house.
He sure has a lot of red whiskers.
He sure does. You know, they knew how to paint pictures back in those days. Watch this, Rob. Walk over here and see how his eyes follow you. Sort of as though he was looking at everything you did.
It's spooky. You think he's a ghost?
Oh, come on, son. You don't believe in ghosts, do you?
No.
Well, I'll let you in on a secret. I think your mother does.
Mom believes in ghosts?
Sometimes.
Oh, Pop!
What's all this about ghosts?
I'm teaching Rob to be the man of the house, so he can look after you when I'm gone.
Hey, I want to go to the beach.
Well, you can if your father goes with you.
Not right now. I have some things to do.
I'd go, only it's time to think about getting dinner ready.
I can go alone.
Sure you can.
Oh, no, Bert, not the first time.
First time for everything. And speaking of first times, how about that?
It's so strange to hear a telephone in a house like this.
Glad there have been some improvements since the captain's day. Guess I better find out who it is.
Pop said I could go to the beach.
Now, Robbie, I want you to be very, very careful. Follow that little path and watch your step climbing down the bluff.
Mom, I'm not a baby.
And don't stay away too long. Do you have your jacket?
Oh, Mom!
I'll be watching you from this window.
Damn, damn, damn.
Well, what's the matter?
That phone call. From the office. Wouldn't you know they're having a crisis and they want me back?
Oh, no, Bert. We just got here. You're on your vacation.
Won't be gone long. Just for the day to help get things straightened out.
Oh, but it's a 4-hour trip.
I know. I'll have to start very early tomorrow morning. And I guess I better spend tomorrow night in the city.
But you promised that first thing tomorrow you'd see about swimming lessons for Robbie. It was a part of our bargain.
I know, honey, but it's just a matter of putting it off for a day.
Oh, you've said that before.
As soon as I get back, we'll go over to the beach club and make arrangements for swimming lessons. And we'll meet some people so that you'll know the neighbors. And Robbie will have someone to play with.
Robbie, dear, what were you doing on those big rocks today?
Just throwing stones in the water. Mom, I can make them skip real good.
I thought I'd asked you not to climb on those rocks unless someone was with you.
I only climbed a little way.
Well, no more climbing, young man, until your father gets back.
But he's been gone for 3 whole days.
Well, he's coming tomorrow. And we're going to let him know how well we've been getting along. Go to sleep now. I'm going out on the porch to watch the moon come up.
Mommy, you promised to open the window very wide so I can hear the sound of the water?
Yes, dear. The weather's changing. I can scarcely see the beam of the lighthouse. It's getting all misty. And don't be frightened if you hear the foghorn.
I like that song. Night.
Good night, dear.
Good evening.
Is someone there?
I always stroll the veranda on a foggy evening.
But there is someone. Who are you?
I am Lavinia Forbush, and I presume you are the lady who is staying in my house?
Why, I guess it was your house. Only I'm staying here now. My name is Marjorie Desmond.
Didn't they tell you, Mrs. Desmond, that I never left this house?
It belongs to me. Belongs to you, Mrs. Forbush. Now it belongs to a man who lives in Boston.
Ah, he thinks he owns it. No one will ever take my place in this house. Come, let's walk this way. The fog is creeping over Dead Man's Rock. Just the way it was that night.
No, I'm getting rather cold. I think I'll go inside.
Poor soul, you need a fine shawl like mine to keep you warm.
It looks like a lovely old paisley. Won't you come inside where it's warm? We could have a cup of tea.
No, indeed, Mrs. Desmond. I only set foot in my house when it becomes necessary to get something I want. I'll stay right here where I always stay, keeping my vigil. But the fog is closing in.
Really, Mrs. Forbush, I must go in.
Oh, how thoughtless of me. The damp night air must have chilled you to the bone. Here, let me put my shawl around your shoulders.
What about you?
Oh, I no longer feel the cold as I once did. Why, it is grand to have a woman to talk to once more. Mrs. Desmond, my captain was a bold and adventurous man. He brought me precious gems from India, from Persia, and from China. Oh, dear Mrs. Desmond, you must not make my mistake. You must take your most cherished possessions and leave my house.
Oh, but I have no jewels, Mrs. Forbush.
Oh, dear lady, you have the greatest jewel of all, a son. How old is your boy, Mrs. Desmond?
Robbie's 9 and a half.
Just the age of my Jason. A most dangerous age.
I know. I worry about him.
And well, you might. What happened to me is history. And history has a way of repeating.
Really, I don't think I want it.
You will listen to me.
Please.
My Jason, oh, he was a strapping lad who helped me with the chores around the house. And when Hiram's ship was in, the boy spent hours talking to the sailors, learning how to tie knots and carve those intricate things from bone and bits of wood.
My Robbie would like that.
And then one day, when Jason was 9 years old, his father came to me and said, I'm taking the boy on a journey. It is time he began to learn the ways of men.
What? Bert said something
too
like...
Too soon, I said, too soon. But my Hiram was a very determined man, and when he made up his mind, there was no stopping him. It's only a short journey, he told me. We are taking the Desdemona to the Caribbees, and Jason will go with me. I watched through the spyglass until the ship was far enough at sea, hoist the big sail which caught the wind. You do know what happened, don't you, Mrs. Desmond?
Don't tell me anymore.
I must, if you would save your boy. Late that evening, the fog closed in the way it has now. And then began the long days of the lonely nights. Where is your son, Mrs. Desmond?
Why, he's in bed. And I hope fast asleep.
You hear that?
Yes. Foghorn is a lonely sound.
It's a lonely sound for women like you and me. When we've lost...
Stop trying to frighten
me. There's still plenty of time.
For what?
To take your son away from here. Take him away and guard him with your life.
Foghorn is a lonely sound, and a ghost-ridden house by the sea is an unsettling place for a woman who is worried about her son. Perhaps in the light of day, when her husband returns, Marjorie will be able to shake her fears. On the other hand, suppose Mrs. Forbush is really trying to tell her something. We'll find out more shortly when I return with Act Two.
Thank you.
Newton.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
How would you like to have one of the best cassette decks to add to your music system? Stereoland's giving away absolutely free a TIAC 360S cassette worth $380. All you have to do to be eligible is to visit their store Sunday, November 10th, between 12 and 4:30. The drawing will be at 4:30, and you need not be present to win. Stereoland is the tape machine headquarters of the Northwest, and they're doing everything possible to merit your stereo and tape business. For instance, you'll find over 50 different types and models of tape machines from manufacturers like Crown, TIAC, JVC, Sony, Pioneer, Superscope, Docorder, and Revox. Having the greatest selection means you'll probably get the machine that best fits your needs and your budget. And don't forget the assistance you'll get from Stereoland's salaried professional salespeople. They're audiophiles who know stereo and tape equipment and enjoy helping people. And with every tape machine purchased at Stereoland next week, you'll get a case of Maxwell tape at half list price. Visit Stereoland for the free TIAC drawing this Sunday and for all your stereo and quad needs. Stereoland, 650 Southwest 152nd in Darien.
If you're afraid of what the future has in store, perhaps you look to the past for guidance. But Marjorie Desmond has had a strange encounter with the past, which only bolsters the fears she already has for her son. Is it possible that a ghostly presence from a former time can prevent or promote an impending disaster? Marjorie's husband has returned from his business trip, and we'll soon find out how he feels about what's going on.
Bert, it's so good to have you back.
Way longer than I expected. But I've only been gone a few days. Same old thing. You should be used to it by now.
But this time it was different. I mean, this place...
Well, now, tell me what you and Robbie have been up to.
Bert, I want to show you something.
Hey, where did you get that paisley shawl? I like it.
So do I. It has such nice, mellow colors.
Where did you find it? In the old captain's sea chest?
No. It was given to me.
Well, that's a nice gift. Who's been around while I was gone?
You're not going to believe this.
Well, let me guess. It was given to you, only it wasn't really a present. You had to pay some enormous sum for it, and now you're afraid to tell me how much it cost.
No, Bert. And I know you won't believe me.
I won't believe you if you say Captain Forbush came to the door and said, "My dear Mrs. Desmond, please let me in. I've returned from a long and tiresome journey, and it would please me very much if you would cook up some bacon and eggs."
No, Bert. It wasn't Captain Forbush.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
It was Mrs. Forbush.
What?
You're going to laugh. I know you wouldn't understand, and I didn't either, only it happened.
For heaven's sake, Marge, what happened?
It was a foggy night.
You sure? Spooks always come out on foggy nights. Now tell me, where did you really get that shawl?
I got it from Mrs. Forbush.
Let's not play games. I'm tired.
She was there.
She was where?
On the widow's
hall. Oh, cut it out.
I talked to her, and she told me what happened to her husband.
Sure. Mr. Smith told us that. The captain was lost at sea.
But Jason...
Oh, who in heck is Jason?
Their son.
Marge... Would you please talk sense? Where did you get that shawl?
I told you from Mrs. Forbush last night when we had a long talk.
Now I heard everything. Okay, it's a joke. And I do think it's pretty funny. We're living in a haunted house, so let's enjoy it. If you don't want to tell me where you found that thing, okay. I'll play your game, at least until tomorrow.
Don't you want to hear what she had to say?
I don't want to hear any more of this crazy story. Come to bed, and tomorrow we'll have a great big laugh over this whole thing. And maybe you'll remember where you really found that shawl.
That was the best picnic we ever had. Can we do it again tomorrow?
Well, not every day, Rob. Maybe tomorrow we'll go to the beach club.
I thought I might do some fishing.
Dad, can I go fishing with you?
Maybe we'll all go. How about it, Marge?
Count me out. You know how I feel.
Yeah, I know. You like to eat the poor little critters, but it's cruel to catch them on those nasty hooks.
Well, it is.
Robbie and I may just go off and forget to come
take
home.
Take your son away from here. Take him away and guard him with your life.
Well, honey, what's the matter? You look as if you'd seen a...
It's nothing, Bert, nothing. I just have to be alone for a minute.
Hey, Dad, what are all these things over here on the shelf?
That's called scrimshaw, Rob.
Scrim?
These are things that were made by sailors a long time ago. When they were on those sailing ships and the sea was calm, they didn't have much to do. So they carved pieces of bone or wood and painted shells.
I bet I could do that.
You'd have to learn how to use a knife.
Would you teach me, Dad?
It's a bedtime, young man, up the stairs.
If I was on a boat, I wouldn't be going up any old stairs.
I suppose you'd be climbing the ropes.
Or walking the gangplank.
No, I asked that fisherman today where he slept, and he said down below.
Unless you want to sleep in the cellar, the direction is up. Get going.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Nice day today, Marge. And I don't know when I've seen Robbie so happy.
Well, he's certainly having a good time. And tomorrow when we go to the beach club, we can make arrangements to have him start taking swimming lessons.
I'm not sure they have regular classes.
Then we'll get him a private instructor.
Marjorie, I am perfectly capable of teaching him myself. I won a medal in college, remember?
Well, of course you're a good swimmer, Bert. And I thought, I suppose if Robbie had been well, you would have taught him long ago. But don't you think he'd learn more quickly now with an outside...
Hey, there's nothing wrong with his old man, is there, Marge?
I have to finish up the dishes. Let's talk about it when I'm through.
Robbie? Don't be frightened. I want to talk to you. No, I'm the lady who lives here. My name is Mrs. Fulbert.
Red whiskers?
He is my husband.
Maybe you could tell me about that boat on the shelf downstairs and all those other things.
That ship was one of the proudest vessels to sail seven seas, and Captain Forbush himself made that model.
Do you think it would sink if I tried to sail it?
Oh, you must never, never try.
Oh, my dad won't let me even touch that boat with the sails. But I can play with the other things. You know, the bones and the shells.
I know. And I brought you one that was a favorite of my son. He was just about your age. Now, do you have a candle I can light?
There is one over there in the bureau, but I could just turn on this light.
No need to waste electricity. I never had it in this house.
That doesn't look like a match to me.
A tinderbox. Best thing in the world for striking a light. There. Now, Robbie, what do you think of this?
Wow. What a big shell.
This is for you, Robbie. To keep for Jason while he is away.
Where's he gone?
I'm hoping you will help me find him.
Oh, I'll be glad to help you. Because if he was here, we could climb the rocks together and explore that pirate's cave.
We'll look for him, Robbie. We'll look for him together. So now, if you will come with me...
I couldn't go anywhere without asking permission.
But this is my house, and I am giving you permission.
But I still couldn't go without asking.
Quickly, boy. Come on. Put on your clothes.
Mom! Mom! Dad!
What is it, Rob?
Why, Robbie, what are you doing with a candle burning? You know how dangerous...
I didn't light it, Mom. You tell them, Mrs. What?
Well, it's who?
Lady, Mrs. Forbush, she was standing right there.
Oh, good Lord, not in here.
Rob, there's no one else in this room. You've been having a dream.
No, dear. Honest, she was here. Look what you gave me.
Not you, too. Hey, that's a very interesting shell. So where did you find it?
Dad, I didn't find it. Mrs. Forbush said it belonged to her son and I could borrow it until he comes back.
That's a likely story. You can make up a better one than that.
But that's exactly what she said. I'm going to help her find him. And when he's here, we can play together down on the beach.
Oh, Robbie, dear, that's not possible.
You're both being impossible.
But the trouble is, we have to find Jason.
Oh, stop it, Robbie. I won't hear any more about this. Jason. Rob, you've had a dream.
It seems very real. But now it's over. And tomorrow you'll have forgotten all about it.
But, Bert, what about the candle and the shell?
Well, there must be some reasonable explanation. But let's not think about it now. I'm blowing the candle out, and Robbie's going to sleep. Good night, son. You've been playing a joke on me, and I'll admit it's been a good one. You were very clever to get Robbie to go along with you. And I must say, he played his part well. But I can think of better games for a boy his age.
This was no game, Bert.
You didn't coach him to put on that act?
Of course I didn't.
Well, if it was a nightmare and he dreamed all those things about Mrs. Forbush and her mythical son, it was only because you filled his imagination full of stories.
I have never mentioned either Mrs. Forbush or Jason to Robbie.
Then there's a book about them somewhere around the house.
Well, if there is, I haven't seen it.
You must have had one of those imaginary conversations out loud, the way you do sometimes. And Robbie overheard you when you thought he was asleep.
Oh, Bert, I don't do that anymore, and I don't see how he could possibly have been listening the night I talked to Mrs. Forbush.
Marge, there is no Mrs. Forbush.
How would you know? You weren't here.
Honey, we're taking this whole thing too seriously. Mrs. Forbush lived nearly 200 years ago, so she can't be hanging around here now.
I suppose you're right.
That's my girl. Give us a smile.
Well, I'm trying.
Now, repeat after me. No more conversations with Mrs. Forbush.
No more conversations with Lavinia Forbush.
Where'd you get that cookie first name?
Well, she told me.
Okay. No more conversations with Lavinia Forbush.
And what will we tell Robbie?
Hey, Mom, look what Dad bought me. He's teaching me how to catch fish.
Oh, well, it looks as though you bought out the store. But did you get my groceries?
Yep, groceries are all right here. But hold off on the steak. We just may come back with something very special for the frying pan.
Look, Mom, my very own rod. Did you ever see one of these? This is real.
Yes, dear, it looks like a very nice reel. Where will you use it, down at the wharf?
Nope. We're going to get Rob off to a really good start. I've rented a boat.
What kind of boat?
Oh, just a putt-putt. You know, one of those flat-bottom jobs with an outboard motor.
But you are going out to sea.
Sure. Well, look at it, Marge. Smooth as glass.
But only, what do you know about the... Well, the tides and the currents.
Marge, we aren't planning a trip to China.
Where are you going?
To that island. It's so clear today, you can see it from here. Don't you worry about a thing. See, I bought him a life jacket, and he's going to wear it every minute of the time. We promise, don't we, Rob?
Sure, Pop. Promise me you won't go far.
I told you, we're only going out to that island. Well, Mr. Smith said the fishing is good. What do you say the island's called?
Hiram's Hideaway.
Oh, yeah. Sorry I asked.
Have a good time.
If you stand on the porch with the binoculars, you can watch us most of the way.
Well, Mrs. Desmond, I'm sorry you did not hear my warning.
Oh, no, please don't come back.
Well, I have not been away.
But I don't want to talk to you. It was bad enough that you upset me, but you had no right to bother my son.
It was you who interfered, Mrs. Desmond. You and your husband, you spoiled it all. I was trying to save your son before this happened.
Nothing has happened, Mrs. Forbush, and I won't let you alarm me anymore.
But you are alarmed, Mrs. Desmond, and well, you might be.
Why did you let him go?
See, they're already out of sight. And if you don't act quickly, you'll never see either your husband or your son again.
This time it seems more likely that the predictions of the ghostly Mrs. Forbush may come true. Marjorie is a worrier, but after all, Bert is not a seasoned sailor, and Robbie can't swim. No, they're not setting off for China. But they are tempting fate. And it's too late to turn back now. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
When you buy a mid-sized car, You expect certain things from it. Mainly, a reasonable combination of comfort and economy. Well, friend, Buick has a midsize to meet your expectations. The 1975 Century Regal. It's a joy to look at, a joy to ride in, and Buick's new V6 engine makes it a joy to drive, especially past gas stations.
Buick Century Regal, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
There's a kind of chemical warfare going on. In this war, cancer is the enemy. Our weapon is chemotherapy. Today, the anti-cancer drugs of chemotherapy enable thousands of patients to lead active lives despite cancer. More people can be helped. To keep the research going, send a check today to the Chemo, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
How would you like to have one of the best cassette decks to add to your music system? Stereoland's giving away absolutely free a TIAC 360S cassette worth $380. All you have to do to be eligible is to visit their stores Sunday, November 10th, between 12 and 4:30. The drawing will be at 4:30, and you need not be present to win. Stereoland is the tape machine headquarters of the Northwest, and they're doing everything possible to merit your stereo and tape business. For instance, you'll find over 50 different types and models of tape machines from manufacturers like Crown, TIAC, JVC, Sony, Pioneer, Superscope, Docorder, and Revox. Having the greatest selection means you'll probably get the machine that best fits your needs and your budget. And don't forget the assistance you'll get from Stereoland's salaried professional salespeople. They're audiophiles who know stereo and tape equipment and enjoy helping people. And with every tape machine purchased at Stereoland next week, you'll get a case of Maxwell tape at half list price. Visit Stereoland for the free TIAC drawing this Sunday and for all your stereo and quad needs. Stereoland, 650 Southwest 152nd in Burien.
It is a calm and beautiful day at Captain's Cove, and it looks as though the fears of Marjorie Desmond were totally unfounded. Father and son have explored the island. A whole new world has opened up for a boy who has been housebound much of his life. And Bert is savoring the joys of feeling a new closeness to his son. It is late afternoon, and they're heading back reluctantly to the mainland.
Hey, Dad, can we do this every day? I'm going to catch a bigger one next time.
For a first try, you did very well. Maybe we can go deep sea fishing someday.
Maybe tomorrow. Great.
Hey, we're doing all right with these smaller fellows. Flounder's good eating. You'll see.
That mom will be surprised. We caught 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, Dad, remember what you promised about that rock?
Oh, it's late, Rob. I think we better not.
But you promised, Dad. Honest, it'll only take a minute.
Well, I'm not sure I can get right up to the rock. The water's starting to get a bit choppy. Where was it you saw that piece of driftwood you wanted?
Up there, see? Looks just like a couple of deer's horns.
Otherwise known as antlers.
Only I'm going to turn it into whatever that other word is. Trim, you know. Hey, stop the boat, Dad. It's right up there.
I can't just stop the boat, Rob. There's no place to anchor.
I could almost reach it if I stood on the seat.
Get down, young man. Now, what did I tell you? It's a tricky tide around here. You'll come back some other time.
Oh, but, Dad, that piece of wood will be gone. Sometimes the waves go all over those rocks. We'll never find a piece like that one.
I'll try again. It's calmer over on this side.
Go down some more, Dad.
There's no way to come in.
Like that flat place on the rock. You throw way down it, and then I'll jump off and get it.
Did your life jacket on tight?
Sure, Dad.
Okay, then. Be very, very careful. I'll idle the motor while you jump off. Grab your piece of driftwood and jump right back.
Here I go.
Oh, the motor's died. And the boat's drifting. You stay right there, Rob, while I get it started.
Yes. Yes. I want to speak to someone at the boathouse down by the pier. The place where you rent boats to go fishing. Hello? Hello, this is Mrs. Desmond. My husband and son, are they there? No, they rented a boat from you this morning to go to the island. Well, I expected them back long before this, and I was afraid something might have happened. Well, I know it isn't late, but it is beginning to look stormy, and I can't see the island anymore. Could you send someone out to look for them? The Coast Guard Patrol? How do I reach them? No, thank you. I'll go to their station down on the beach.
No use going to the Coast Guard station, Mrs. Desmond. They've taken the cutter and gone in the other direction.
But Bert and Rob, I'm afraid they're in trouble.
They are in trouble, Mrs. Desmond. Out by Dead Man's Rock.
And we must send someone after them.
No one to send. Unless we do it ourselves.
How can we?
I've done it before. And if the two of us pull together...
What are you talking about?
The rowboat over there. Can you handle an oar?
Well, once I knew how to row, I'm not sure that I...
Hurry, Mrs. Desmond, before the storm sets in. I'm aboard.
Well, an old boatplace half full of water.
No time to be choosy. You fit this oar in the lock. Well, I shove off with the other one.
There's a hole in the bottom of this boat, Mrs. Corbush. This is madness. We'll never make it.
Oh, Mrs. Desmond. Oh.
See, it's getting rough.
Aye. A storm is brewing.
We must turn back.
Too late, Mrs. Desmond. Too late. We must fulfill our mission.
That rock seems... Further away.
Oh, Mrs. Desmond.
Oh, it's no use, Mrs. Forbush. We're going to sink.
Stay away from that warning bell.
The boat is sinking, Mrs. Forbush. It's going straight to the bottom. We'll have to swim for it. Swim for the buoy.
Save yourself, Mrs. Desmond.
Closer. I can't seem to get this darn motor started.
Hello?
Who are you?
Hiram Forbush, at your service.
Captain Forbush?
Yeah. Are you in difficulty?
You can't seem to get this stupid motor started.
Give me wind and sails anytime.
But they're not going to help me now. My son and I...
Your boy over yonder?
Yes. I should never have let him off on the rock.
Dead Man's Rock's a dangerous place to be. But one of my men will get him.
I'll be very grateful for anything you can do. We have to get home. Couldn't you put us ashore in a rowboat?
Can't spare the men to take down a long boat. My only rowboat was most rotted away. So I left it back on the beach.
Oh, there must be some way. I'll pay you very well.
All the money I want is out where we're going. And we can't stay around here any longer. So climb aboard and...
No, I'll take my boy back in this boat and someone else will come along. Or they'll send the Coast Guard to look for us.
You won't last long in that thing. There's a storm coming up.
Then please... Send up some kind of a signal, a flare, a rocket, or...
Shoot off a cannon and rouse the whole town? No need for that. We're not in any trouble.
But we are. My son and I. You know how it is. I believe you have a son.
I always wanted a son. Fine boy, this one. Just the right age for a first trip before the mast. Well, I'm giving you your last chance.
Captain Forbush... Let's be sensible. I have obligations to meet.
Sounds to me as though you have a guilty conscience. Lively with the sheets, man. She's coming about. Up with the sails and dead ahead.
Come around to the side, Rob. And jump.
Daddy, I'm scared.
Jump. Rob! Hey, dog paddle! The jacket will hold you up. Here, son. Grab my fishing pole.
I got it.
Good boy. Hang on. That's it. Now, get hold of the saddle boat.
Yeah. Dad, I lost my stick.
Oh, forget it. Easy now. Gotcha. Are you all right?
I'm okay, Dad. Boy, can you see what I was doing? I was swimming.
Not quite. Here, Rob. Here's some of these rags to dry off. I'm going to try this motor one more time.
Rob, you made it.
Everything's going to be all right.
Hey, Dad. Think sometime we could get a sailboat?
I'd rather not think about this just now, Robbie. We've had a close call.
And then maybe we can play a lot.
Robbie, no more. We're lucky.
Dad, I hear someone calling.
Well, that's not that our imagination.
Help! Help! Over there, Dad. By that thing standing up in the water.
Help!
Good Lord. There's someone clinging to the buoy.
Are you warm enough?
Never felt better.
Now, Marge, if you feel up to it, will you please tell us what in the name of heaven you were trying to do?
I started out in a rowboat.
That rickety old rowboat that was down on the beach?
Why, yes. Did you know it was there? I hadn't seen it before.
That boat must have been 100 years old. Why did you...
I can't explain what was going on in my mind. Or at least you wouldn't understand. You see, I had this awful premonition that something terrible was going to happen to both of you and that I must row out as far as that rock to save you. Well, the boat sank and mercifully there was that buoy and then you came along. Please don't ask me any more questions because now that you're both safe, all those crazy notions I had are gone forever. But something did happen, didn't it, Bert?
Something happened, all right. We were starting back when the motor conked out. And... You won't believe this, Marge, but suddenly everything was deathly still. And out of nowhere came this big old ship, like the one in the model over there. That's right, isn't it, Rob?
Oh, Dad.
And over the rail leaned that face with the cold blue eyes and the bristling red beard. None other than Captain Hiram Forbush.
Oh, you're being mean, Bert, but I guess I deserve this. Go on.
You don't believe me, do you, Marge? But I tell you, there he was, big as life. I begged him to take us back to shore, but he said he was heading for the Caribbees. He had Robbie up on the deck while I was trying to start the motor. And then that sailing ship started to take off. And I looked up, and that's when I yelled to Bobby to jump.
Hey, Dad, that's the best story I ever heard. Now can I tell Mom what really happened?
What really happened?
You see, Mom, it was like this. I saw this piece of wood like the antlers on that big rock. And I wanted to make something out of it, you know, some of that scrim stuff. And I begged Dad to let me get it. So he slowed down the boat and I jumped off.
Oh, that was dangerous, Rob.
Well, it would have been all right, except the motor conked out and the boat was drifting away. So I had to jump in the water or I'd still be on that rock. And, oh, Mom, I was scared. But I almost swam.
A swimming lesson for you tomorrow, Robbie. I promise.
Mom, you tell me something, please?
Yes, dear.
What happened to Mrs. Forbush?
Robbie, why do you ask a question like that?
I've been worried about her. She drowned, didn't she?
Yes, Robbie. She drowned. But that was a long, long time ago.
What happened to Mrs. Forbush was not as important as what happened to the Desmonds. A possessive mother learned she must loosen the bonds with which she held her only child, or live in an ever-present nightmare of fear. And a self-centered father discovered that if he neglected his wife and son, he ran the risk of losing them. Such lessons are learned and sometimes forgotten in strange and frightening ways. I'll be back shortly.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
The common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then ask yourself the contact question. 6 for 3 or 1. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Type Pills.
Here's your Cold to contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact. Only as directed.
The ghost of Mrs. Forbush has been laid to rest. But the captain, since no trace of his ship was ever found, you may see the Desdemona sometime off in the mists on a foggy day. The sights and sounds of the restless ocean stir something deep within the soul. There are countless tales to be told of the sea. We'll look for some to bring them along with other probings into those things which touch the dark and mysterious recesses of the human mind. Our cast included Patricia Wheel, Gordon Gould, Billy Lou Watt, Mary Jane Higby, and Guy Sorrell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
There's a test, Benny. A test that can determine whether or not there was ever blood on that knife of yours. Ever. Understand?
Yeah. So what?
Well, I intend to make that test in court tomorrow. If it's negative, the jury will know that you didn't kill Kenneth Archer.
Oh, I don't understand that kind of stuff.
I'm not asking you to understand. If you stab that man, a jug full of chemical is going to turn pink, and you can kiss your freedom goodbye. But there's something else. If you ever cut anybody with that knife, even yourself, that chemical will turn pink. So I want you to tell me now, was there ever blood on that knife?
No, it was brand new. I never cut nothing with it.
All right, Benny. We'll see how true it is. We'll give that knife a bath tomorrow. And God help us both if you lied to me.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News coming up next on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle. The weather outlook calls for periods of rain to continue at least through Sunday. The highs in the mid-50s and lows in the mid-40s. In downtown Seattle, currently it's 48 degrees. The barometer rising, it reads an even 30. KIXI.
KIXI time, now 11 p.m.
CBS News. Former Army Lieutenant William Kelly flew to Georgia late Friday night after being granted parole. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Kelly, the only soldier imprisoned as a result of the 1968 My Lai massacre in Vietnam, is being turned over to a federal court in Columbus, Georgia, where bail will be set Saturday morning, pending his formal release on parole. That will occur later this month. Army Secretary Howard Calloway disclosed that he signed Kelly's parole order last week. Kelly was originally sentenced to life in prison for his part in the murder of civilian men, women, and children in the South Vietnamese village in 1968. More news in a moment.
The sun is shining. Things are growing. Things are going well with you and me. A future planned together. Rich, full life together. Things look bright as they can be. We're helping.
Will be here in a moment. Don't let it take you by surprise. At Metropolitan Life, we've spent over a century helping people prepare for the future. And Metropolitan can do the same for you.
At Metropolitan Life, we help to plan your future because the future is now.
In Cleveland Friday, federal judge Frank Battisti dismissed charges against eight former Ohio National Guardsmen indicted in connection with the Kent State shootings in 1970. The judge said evidence presented at their trial was insufficient to prove the guardsmen intended to deprive anyone of civil rights, as charged in the federal indictment. Commenting on the decision, U.S. Attorney Robert Murphy in Cleveland said this.
We always felt that it was a case that deserved to be tried, that the public had a right to know what happened there, that questions that had been unanswered perhaps could be answered at a trial. And a grand jury indicted these men. We had an obligation to prosecute on behalf of that grand jury, and we lost.
The former guardsman may still be subject to action on the state level in Ohio. It's possible criminal charges could be brought. Louise Schroeder, the mother of one of the four students killed at Kent State, says she will continue to press for a congressional investigation of the incident. Soviet news agencies have officially reported China's offer to smooth relations between the two communist giants. The significance of the offer continues to be pondered. Murray Frompson has a report from Hong Kong.
Hong Kong's China watchers are searching for the significance in Peking's offer to discuss peace with Moscow. The question is, why now? Particularly unclear is whether the offer, transmitted to the Soviet people and not their government on November the 7th, is a serious diplomatic initiative or a piece of well-timed propaganda. Peking's message was broadcast on the anniversary of the Great October Revolution. It was strikingly similar to one Moscow dispatched on October 1st, China's National Day. So this conceivably may have been nothing more than a tit-for-tat gesture. Nevertheless, the tone of the Chinese broadcast was more conciliatory than any in recent memory. Analysts here do not anticipate a dramatic breakthrough in the near future, given the possibilities of change before long in China's aging leadership. But for the first time in years, the Chinese have taken up the proposal for a non-aggression pact, and they've ignored their usual description of it as a piece of Soviet hypocrisy. In effect, the Chinese seem to be leaving it up to Moscow to take the first affirmative step in reducing tensions. Murray Thompson, CBS News, Hong Kong.
Secretary of State Henry Kissinger is now in Tunisia, his last stop before coming home. Kissinger and his wife Nancy are returning to the U.S. on Saturday. The secretary arrived in Tunis Friday night to brief President Bourguiba on the secretary's Middle East mission. Kissinger has made no public comment on his swing through Israel and four Arab countries, saying only that his search for a peaceful Mideast solution will continue. More news after this word.
The French call it an apéritif. In America, it's the appetizer you drink. Either way, Dubonnet goes before.
Before, that's the time to think about some Dubonnet. Drink before a meal by day or night. It helps to whet your appetite before, yeah, before. Dubonnet, 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 Dubonnet,
Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, Dubonnet, started in France, of course. And whether you call it an aperitif or an appetizer, the proper time to drink it is before. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's the wine you drink to whet your appetite. Dubonnet Before, made to make what comes after that much better. USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Jean Mayer, the Harvard nutritionist, says Americans drink enough alcoholic beverages each year to use up grain that could feed 40 to 50 million people annually. Mayer returned from the World Food Conference in Rome, urging people to limit their intake of alcohol to one drink at parties. Mayer said Americans could free more grain for the world's hungry also by abstaining from meat 2 days a week. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI with the time 6 minutes past 11.